Now I see grace, hallelujah, I stand today. I'm staring at an empty grave, and the stone that you rolled away. When I was practical, you saw sun. When I left the 99, you saw the one. And just like that, all my past has been erased. When I look back, I see grace.
Well, good morning, Grace Point Church. I love our intro song, I See Grace. I come here and I see Grace Point. We come here because God is a God of grace. We celebrate His grace and we worship Him in His grace. So we're glad you're here this morning. Thank you all for setting your clocks. In about an hour, the other half of our folks will show up. And we will receive them well. I want to read a verse for you this morning out of Matthew chapter 25, verse 21. It says this, His master replied, Excellent, you are a good and faithful servant. You've been faithful over a little, I'll put you in charge of much. Come, celebrate with me. The Bible talks about being faithful. And when we're faithful, God blesses us. We're going to be talking about that later on in the message. Would you pray with me? Father, thank you that way above and beyond your call to us to be faithful, you are faithful to us. And for that, we thank you and we praise you. Accept our worship today, Lord. Speak to us through it. Call us to faithfulness to you so that you can work through us to win more people to Jesus. In His name we pray. And everybody said, Amen.
Say, can I say something, Kevin?
Well, if I said no, I would look really bad.
It's going to be really tough.
Go ahead, brother.
There was a big basketball game.
Oh, my gosh. That's
last night. You know, Libby's a South Carolina fan. Kevin's a Tennessee fan. You know, anybody know what happened?
Oh, yeah.
Kevin was happy for 39 minutes, 58.9 seconds. And then Libby was happy the last 1.1 second. And that's all I got to say. That's it.
You're dismissed. Go, go. Well, well, well. I don't even know where to go from there. Have you ever had a situation in your life where you knew you should cut back on something? Let's just say a sweet treat. We all have a sweet tooth, some more than others. And you know you shouldn't just be eating any more of it, right? And how many of us fail occasionally from that? So the question for us is, what would we have done? What would you have done? What would I have done? Would we have been able to be faithful under circumstances similar to that? We're in a series of messages called Living in Faith, and this is the fourth part of the series. And we're going to be talking today about being faithful in a faithless world. If you have your bulletins, open them up. You should find the outline there. You can follow along with us. Being faithful in a faithless world. In Luke chapter 18, verse 8, the Bible says this, When I, the Son of Man, return, how many will I find on earth who have faith? Why is it so important to maintain faith and to be faithful to God and to what He's called us to be and what He's called us to do? The Bible says at least three things about the importance of faith. First of all, the Bible tells us that God is looking for faithful people. God is actively taking the initiative to look for faithful people that He can bless. In 2 Chronicles 16:9, the Bible says this, For the eyes of the Lord search back and forth across the whole earth, looking for people whose hearts are perfect toward Him so that he can show his great power in helping them. God is looking for people that he can use. And if we get usable, God will use us in incredible ways. If we get blessable, God will bless us in incredible ways. God says, I want to use you. How do we make that happen? By being faithful to God. So God is looking for faithful people. And number two, faithful people, the Bible says, are sometimes blind. People who trust God with their lives, with their hearts, with their souls, their minds, their strength, they are quite rare. Proverbs 20, verse 6 says this, everyone talks about how faithful he is, but it is difficult to find someone who really is. A lot of people talk the talk, but they don't really always trust God. They say they believe in God, but they don't really trust him with their everyday life, their finances, their health, their job, many other things. One night, a clergyman was walking to church and a thief pulled a gun on him and demanded his money or his life. When he reached in his pocket to hand over his wallet, the robber saw the clerical collar that now was in the priest's hand. He said, oh no, I see you're a priest, never mind. You can go. The clergyman, surprised by the robber's unexpected act of piety, offered him a candy bar. And the thief said, oh no, thank you, I don't eat candy during Lent. What's the irony of that? Sometimes that's the extent of people's faithfulness. Faithful people are hard to find. God's looking for them. They're hard to find. And thirdly, faithfulness is a key to blessings and victory. 1 John chapter 5, verses 4 and 5, the Bible says, every child of God can defeat the world, and it is our faith that gives us the victory. No one can defeat the world without having faith in Jesus as the Son of God. And in Proverbs 28, verse 20, it says, a faithful man will be richly blessed. Now, folks, I want God's blessing on your life. Physical blessing, financial blessing, emotional blessing, spiritual blessing, relational, vocational, social blessings. I want God to bless your life. I want God to bless my life. I want God to bless Grace Point Church's life. But in order for us to have the blessings that God wants us to have, we need to learn faithfulness. You're going to have to learn how God tests faithfulness and how you need to grow in faithfulness. So let's look at six different ways we can learn to be faithful to God. How can I be faithful to God who calls me to be faithful to him? Number one, we need to learn that God uses little things to test your integrity. He uses the little things in life. We think it's the big things in life that create a leader, but that's not true. Big crises in life reveal leadership, but leadership is built in the small things of life. That's where integrity shows up, in the stuff that nobody sees, nothing going on behind the scenes. That's where you learn to be faithful and a person of integrity, in the small, unseen, unspectacular voices of life, where you do the right thing, although nobody else knows that you are doing it. In Luke 16, verse 10, the Bible says this, whoever is faithful in small matters will be faithful in large ones. And whoever is dishonest in small matters will be dishonest in little things, in large ones as well. What's he saying here? He's saying your public blessing is determined by your private integrity. So be faithful to God in the little things of life. Admiral McRaven, a Navy SEAL, said this, if you want to change the world, make your bed. If you make your bed everything, it reinforces the fact that the little things in life matter. If you can't do the little things right, you'll not be able to do the big things right either. Mother Teresa put it this way when she said, little things are indeed little, but being faithful in little things is a great thing. It's the small things in life that God's going to test us in. He uses little things to test our integrity. Secondly, God uses my talents to test my unselfishness. He uses my talents to test my unselfishness. You have to decide in life who or what you're going to live for. And you've got two choices. You're either going to live for yourself or you're going to live for something or someone greater than yourself. For God, for Jesus, for the Holy Spirit. Faithful people don't live for themselves. They realize that the talents God gave them are not for their own benefit only, but they're given to make a world a better place. Do you realize that when God made you, He gave you gifts and talents and abilities? There's nobody like you in the entire world, and God wants you to live your life for His glory. God shaped you. He molded you. He made you to serve Him just the way He wanted you to do so. There's only one way to serve God, and that's by serving people. We can't see God down here. We worship God by faith, but we're not in His presence fully like we will be in heaven one day. So we serve God by serving other people around us. For instance, one of my gifts is teaching. It's what I do every Sunday for you. One of Jason's gifts is music. And every week we see his giftedness with his band to bless us and to lead us in worship. And one of John's gifts is telling really extraordinarily horrible bad dad jokes. You'll never score a three-pointer with that, John. Actually, one of John's greatest gifts is compassion. And God gave us three different gifts to work together to lead in now this particular time in our history, this church. God has given you the same types of gifts in areas that we aren't good in at all. And He's given you those gifts so you can serve Him and be faithful to Him. And when you don't use your gifts, we get cheated. When you don't use your gifts the way God made you to use them, people around you get cheated. Just like if you were to be blessed by somebody who's using their gifts, if you don't use them, people can't benefit from them. God made us all different so that everything in the world that needs to get done can get done. 1 Peter 4:10 says this, "Each one should use whatever gift he has received to serve others, faithfully administering God's grace in its various forms." Why? Why do we do that? So we can make a lot of money? No. So we can retire and die? No. We do it to serve God faithfully by serving other people who need our intervention, who need our gifts, who need our service. Paul said this in 1 Corinthians 4:2. "Now it is required that those who have been given a trust must prove faithful." God is watching to see, do I use my gifts, my time, my talent, my money, my influence, my intelligence, do I use those wisely? He wants me to use them unselfishly. God uses little things to test our integrity. He gives us talents to test our unselfishness. He also, number three, uses tough times to teach me persistence. The difference between faithful people and unfaithful people is unfaithful people give up at the first sign of difficulty. Faithful people keep on keeping on. Faithful people are determined, they're diligent, they're persistent. Faithful people don't know how to quit. Remember, folks, at one time, how many of you all have been to the Angel Oak Tree on John's Island? You've seen that? Been there? Remember, folks, at one time that angel oak was just a little nut that refused to give up its ground. It didn't quit, and neither should we. Going through some tough times right now, you tempted to quit, you tempted to give up. The Bible says let's not do that. Look how Paul put it in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 16 through 18. He said, "This is why we never give up. Though our bodies are dying, our spirits are being renewed every day. For our present troubles are quite small, and they won't last very long, but they will produce for us an immeasurably great glory that will last forever. So we don't look at the troubles we can see right now. Rather, we look forward to what we have not yet seen. The troubles we've seen will soon be over, but the joys to come will last forever. Folks, God is more interested in who you are than in what you do. He's more interested in what you're becoming than what's happening to you. And often God allows trials and troubles and tribulations in our lives to teach us diligence, determination, and dedication. The problem you're going through right now is nothing more than a test. It's a test of your faith. It's a test of your faithfulness. Will you continue to serve God even when life stinks? In Galatians chapter 6, verse 9, Paul said, "Don't get tired of doing what is right. You will be rewarded when the time is right if you don't give up." We can all learn a great spiritual lesson from that theologian Forrest Gump. You know the story, a storm was coming and all the other fishermen decided to dock their boats and to play it safe. Only Forrest Gump took his boat, Jenny, out to continue fishing. If you remember, at the end of the storm, every boat that had tied down in the harbor was destroyed. Forrest Gump alone dominated the shrimp market because he was the only one who didn't play it safe. Folks, our church, Great Point, was made to fish. We are told to be fishers of men. As long as we can, we will continue to keep on reaching out to people around us to fish for people who need to come and understand God's love and grace and forgiveness. We will not quit. I love our church, and God's been giving us some good times. I like this part of church, but times will come where Satan will try and get in. It's going to be tough. Listen, even during those times, we will not quit. We will remain and be steadfast to the things God has called us to do, no matter what. One of the greatest athletes to ever play professional sports said this, "I have missed more than 9,000 shots in my career. I have lost almost 300 games. On 26 occasions, I was entrusted to take the game-winning shot, and I missed. I have failed over and over again in my life, and that's precisely why I succeed." Michael Jordan. Don't quit. God uses tough times to teach us to persist. God uses little things to test our integrity. He uses talents to test our unselfishness. He uses tough times to teach us persistence. And number four, he uses shortages to test my generosity. Faithful people are generous when they don't have to give. Anyone can be generous when they have a surplus. I can be generous with my time when I have a lot of extra time. I can be generous with my money when I have a lot of extra money. I can be generous with my energy when I have a lot of energy to spend. It's when we don't have enough and we give out of what we don't have that God blesses, and he says, "This was a test. I'm testing you to see if you'll be faithful even when you realize you don't have a whole lot to give." And God is watching us to see if we're being faithful when we have shortages in our lives. Folks, one of the number one tests, the acid test of our faith, is what God gives us financially. One of the greatest tests God gives us is, what do we do with our money? Why is that? And I'm not making this up. It's in the Bible. The New Testament, Jesus talked more about money than any other topic. Why? Because it's a test. Folks, we spend most of our time thinking about money, making money, worrying about spending money, investing money, and saving money. Money is an acid test of how much we trust God. Look at Luke chapter 16, verses 9 through 14. Jesus said it like this, "I tell you, use your worldly resources to benefit others and make friends for eternity. In this generosity stores up a reward for you in heaven. But if you are unfaithful with your worldly wealth, who will trust you with the true riches of heaven? You cannot serve both God and money." Did you know that God says he uses money to test how much he's going to be able to trust us in heaven? He says, if I can't trust you with material wealth in this world, how am I going to trust you when you get to heaven for all eternity? He said, down here, it's a test. God gives generously to people. God says, the more generous you are, the more generous I'm going to be with you. If you're generous with your time, God says, I'm going to find a way to give you some more time. If you're generous with your energy, he said, I'm going to find a way to even give you more energy. If you're with your talent, I'm going to find a way to give you more talent. There's a principle in the Bible where God says, the more generous you are, the more generous I'll be with you. You cannot, listen, you cannot outgive God with anything you have. Yourself, your possessions, your money, you can't outgive God. Now, we're at a place in our church where we're going to go through a test of money. We've done some renos thus far, have you noticed? And so far we've been good with that. We've been able to use money that the church already had in the accounts. We haven't had to spend a whole lot. We've got a lot for our money. We've got a big bang out of our buck so far. But that's going to change. We have major renovations to do in here. Take the pews out, put some chairs in. It'll hold 192 people in this sanctuary. Do new carpet, new lighting, back there in the hallway, new flooring, renovate those classrooms. How about the outside landscaping? We look a little bare some places. We got to make it look good out there. And that's to say nothing of what's going to happen in that building back there when we get done with this building in here. And we don't do it just to look good, folks. We do it so that by doing it, we are able to win more people to Jesus. I don't give a flip about doing any of this just for the sake of doing it. I don't have that kind of time and energy to burn and waste. But we do it so more people might come to this church so we can teach them about God's love and his forgiveness. But it's going to cost us money. And instead of giving a little bit here and there, we're going to have to get you to dig deep in your pockets and say, okay, here's a whole lot more I can give. I can't give it all at once, but over the course of another year, I can give this much, and together, we'll just sit back and see what God does. There will be a day if we're faithful to God when we're going to look back and see, wow, look what God has brought us through and brought us to. All so we can win more people to Jesus. It's all a means to a greater end. And when we do all that God tells us to do, and we run out of our energy and our strength, he says, I'll keep on going. Think about the story of the feeding of 5,000 that was told in the Bible. It's a great example of this. They're all out in the desert. Jesus has been teaching out in the desert all day. How'd you like it if I did an all-day sermon? All day. They're out in the desert. Jesus has been teaching all day. And at the end of the day, everybody's hungry. There was no Chick-fil-A, no Starbucks, no DoorDash. And they're hungry. And the disciples came to Jesus and said, Jesus, man, you got a lot of people out here. They're hungry. Send them away because we have nothing to feed them. Jesus saw this little boy. He had a sack lunch. The little boy came over to Jesus. Jesus said, I'll tell you what. lets us feed them. He said, Jesus, you don't understand. He said, no, look at this boy's lunch right here. And inside that little bag was a few pieces of bread and two fish, little sardines that boy was going to have for lunch. Isn't it amazing? It was a kid who brought his lunch. Nobody else even thought about it till they got hungry. And out of that entire 5,000 plus people, the little kid takes his measly lunch, he gives it to Jesus. Jesus takes it, he blesses it, he multiplies it, and he feeds over 5,000 people, and he had leftovers. What's the principle here in this story? When I give God what little I have, God multiplies it, and he makes up for it. When I have a need, I sow a seed, and God says, I'm going to bless you in your faithfulness to me. Can you imagine a farmer going? It's a recession time, and a farmer says, you know what? It's hard, money's tough. I think I'm just going to keep all the seed in the barn right now for later on. That's not going to work. You've got to use what you have. We need to remember, folks, there's always a delay between sowing and reaping. If I go out and I plant a kernel of corn in the ground, I'm not going to reap tomorrow. I'm not going to see a full-grown stalk of corn with 20 ears on it in a week or 2 weeks or even a month. There's a season between planting and harvesting, between the seed and the fruit. There's always a time delay. And what's going on in that time delay? A test of your faith. You're going to be faithful in between that time delay when you're hoping for something and nothing's coming yet? Are you going to remain faithful to God? A couple of other ways that God tests our faithfulness. A fifth way is that faithful people bring friends to Jesus. Faithful people bring friends to Jesus. Faithful people share their faith. Faithful people bring others into the faith. If I don't share my faith, folks, I'm being unfaithful. If you don't share your faith, you're being unfaithful. And a good example of this is the four guys in the Bible who had a friend who was paralyzed. They had the faith to think, if we could just get our friend to Jesus, Jesus might heal this person. And in Matthew chapter 9, verse 2, it says, some men brought to Jesus a paralytic friend lying on a mat. When Jesus saw their faith, he said to the paralyzed man, take heart, son, your sins are forgiven. And the rest says, take your mat and go home. And the guy was healed. He stood up, he walked, he got his mat, and he walked home when he thought he would never be able to use his legs and his feet and his ankles and his toes ever again. Listen very closely, folks. Listen. Hear it. You have friends today who are paralyzed. And they can't get to Jesus. You have friends who are paralyzed by their guilt and they can't get to Jesus. You have friends who are paralyzed by doubt and fear and worry and insecurity and they can't get to Jesus. And the only way they're ever going to get to Jesus is you're going to have to bring them to him. You're going to have to be that kind of friend that says, I need to intervene for this person. I need to be the one to bring them to Jesus. I need to be the one to invite them to church. I need to be the one to make sure that I bring them to our Easter service in just a few weeks. The only way they're going to get to Jesus is you're going to have to bring them. Easter is a wonderful time to bring your friends to Jesus. Friends, bring friends to Jesus. And not the only way, but one way to do that is simply to invite them to a church service and particularly to Easter service. Because, folks, that's what we are about here at Grace Point Church, about bringing people to Jesus. And I believe at any point that we stop bringing people to Jesus, that we make that less than the forefront of what we're here, then I believe God will take his hand of blessing off of us. We need to make sure we stay being faithful to inviting other people to Jesus. And last, number six, faithful people build up the faith of others. Faithful people build up the faith of others. Building the faith of others is called mentoring or discipling. It's simply encouraging somebody in the faith who is younger than you in the faith. Chronologically, they may be younger or older, but they need someone to help them along to grow. And maybe you can be that somebody to them, to encourage them, to be a coach to them in their spiritual life, to be praying for them. It's one of the purposes that God created at the church. It's one of the purposes and the reasons why we have small groups, so we can be encouraging to one another. In 2 Timothy chapter 2, this, the things you've learned from me in the presence of many witnesses, you are to entrust to other faithful people who will also be qualified to pass it on to others. Notice this verse. He talks about three generations. Paul says, I helped build up your faith. Now you're to find somebody who's faithful and help build up their faith so they can turn around and build up somebody else's faith. Three generations of faith building. And it starts with you mentoring, teaching, encouraging someone else now. It's interesting to me that God chose as the leader of the church the Apostle Peter. What makes it interesting that God chose the leader of the church to be Peter, because Peter was a failure. Peter was the guy who denied Jesus three times when Jesus needed him most. And Jesus chose him to be the leader of the first church, and Peter did on the day of Pentecost. And the Bible says after he preached, the failure of the early church became the leader of the church. And after Pentecost, 3,000 people got saved because the failure of Jesus allowed Jesus to use him to reach people. And 3,000 people got saved. I love that story because it teaches me, it reminds me that God uses losers. Aren't you glad? I am. Because God uses people like that to change the story of people's lives. And together, folks, we can change the story of people's lives all. It will mean being faithful in a faithless world. Are you ready to do that? Now, I want to end with a verse that means a lot to me, and I hope it will mean a lot to you too. Because no matter how we fail, we're going to fall short. And in this verse is a gracious promise from God in the times when we fail. 2 Timothy 2:13 says, when we are faithless, God remains faithful. When we fail, God doesn't run from us. When we miss it, God doesn't kick us off his team. When we are faithless, God remains faithful. I am so glad of that. Because I can think of so many times when I lacked in my faithfulness. Matter of fact, I was just faithless. I was like a Peter, failure. And God looks down and he says, Kevin, I know you messed it up, but I'm here for you. He looks down at you and he says, hey, I know you blew it, but I'm here for you. He looks down at Grace Point and he says, hey, you're a good church, God, I'm blessing you, but you're not perfect, but I'm still there for you, in your midst, to use you to reach people for Jesus. When we are faithless, God remains faithful. We serve a God. Amen. Amen. Pray with me. God, thank you for being faithful when we are faithless. You call us to be faithful, Lord, and we have a responsibility in that, especially as it comes to telling our friends about Jesus and inviting them to church. You call us to be faithful in the little things of life where you test us so that you can use us. God, thank you for being faithful to us. Make us faithful to you, to the calling you've placed on each of our lives as your children to make a difference in this world, in people's lives, for Jesus. God, help Grace Point Church to remain forever faithful to you, to what you've called us to. Bless our time now where we think about and pray about and respond to you, Lord, in a way that will please you. We pray it in Jesus' name. Amen.
Father, we thank you for this wonderful time of worship together. Thank you for the smiles, the deep thoughts, and the challenges that we take with us from this place. Help us to bring our friends to you. Help us as we prepare already for next week and for Easter as we look ahead. Thank you again, Jesus, and we pray it in your name, and everybody said, amen. Amen.